Me okay? Well, it's good to see old friends. Johnny and Mary Feliz, good seeing you all. Said Rebecca's doing well. What a blessing to see old saints, old friends.
Amen.
Visitors are here, I didn't get the names, but God bless you for being here. I'm going to share a message. Carol and I have been to the chapel about probably going on a little over 25 years. Time flies when you're having fun. And I don't think I've ever really heard a message on the Holy Trinity. We've heard the Godhead mentioned many times in many ways, but today we're going to consider that and pray it will be a blessing to all of here what God's Word has to say about the Holy Trinity. And I've entitled this Thrice Blessed. Thrice Blessed. And I think that'll be apparent as we go on. We can start off by singing a song that we may end with. And the end of the song says, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. I'll start it higher next time. Blessed Trinity, God in three persons. We are fashioned after something truly wonderful, truly amazing. God Almighty, the Holy Trinity, the Godhead, the supreme being in the universe, God in three persons. Ephesians 1:3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Yes, we are truly blessed. In Matthew, we have Christ's Sermon on the Mount. It's called the Beatitudes. And he says, blessed are they, nine times in nine verses. We see that in Matthew 5, verses 3 through 11. The word blessed, one meaning, there's several, it means happy, a description of a believer's inner condition as a result of the work of God. It's been said of the Holy Trinity, not one God in three phases, not three differing gods coexisting, but one divine being with three offices, three in one. Well, God has many names. But what did he call himself? That's a good place to start. Turn to Exodus 3. Exodus 3, go down to verse 13. Of course, this is the account of Moses at the burning bush. In Exodus 3, down in verse 14, we read this. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Here's God's answer. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. I am. The word I am speaks of a being who is absolutely self-existent and who in himself possesses essential life and permanent existence. The one who was, who is, and who is to come. We could think of the Lord's words. Go back to the other end of your Bible, to Revelation 1. We consider this. Again, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 1, verse 8. Revelation 1, verse 8. The Lord speaking, do not be afraid. I am, it's interesting, the first and the last. I am he who lives, who was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. The Lord Jesus Christ, whoever lives to make intercession for us. We begin this. And this is not by any means an exhaustive study or consideration of the Holy Trinity, but just a few things to consider. There are many different names and meanings of God. Consider a few. You don't need to write these down. Perhaps if you want, I can get you a list later. Elohim, the word God, speaks of his majesty. Yahweh, or Jehovah, speaks of Lord. Elyon, El Elyon, the Most High God. Adonai, the word Lord or Master. El Shaddai speaks of Lord, God Almighty. El Olam, Olam, speaks of the everlasting God. Jehovah Jireh speaks of the Lord will provide. We've sung a song by that title before. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Nil Kwana speaks of a jealous God. Jehovah Mikodesh Kim, the Lord who sanctifies you. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Raha, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Titzkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And so many others. We'll consider a little more about a few names of God as we continue. One has written this: we see God's names revealed to us throughout the pages of Scripture. Often the Bible reveals a new name of God when the people either face a great need or when they see how God provides and blesses them in a spectacular way. As time passed, the people of God received more and more revelation about the nature of God. This process continues today with his people, with us, as we discover more about his character through his word. By spending time in prayer and meditation on his word, on his various names, we can come to know him in a far more personal way. Here are a few names of God to consider in more detail, and these are the first mention of these names. These names of God here are as they appear in the New King James Version of the Bible, so your version may be a little different. First, we have God, or Elohim. It appears some 2,600 times in the Bible, first in Genesis 1:1, where it says, "In the beginning, God." And I mentioned this morning. God is the majestic ruler over all. Elohim is a plural word. I was reminded of our dear brother Eddie Schwartz. Y'all have seen him in the past. He shared with us many years ago that this word Elohim is more than two, and he speaks of it being as a plural. God, three in one. The next word is Lord in all caps. Lord God speaks of Yahweh. I believe the Jewish folks won't pronounce it that way. They'll go Yahweh. But you'll hear about that. Genesis 2:4 is the first occurrence. It's found over 6,500 times in Scripture. Yahweh is the promised and proper name of God. It means Lord and Master. And again, by Jewish tradition, this name is too holy to pronounce or even to write. Therefore, when the Jewish folks wrote this word, they just wrote four letters without any vowels, YHWH. And we've heard a Jewish, born-again Jewish speaker says it's pronounced Yahweh. The next is God Most High, El Elyon, first appears in Genesis 14:18, 52 more times in the Bible. El is likely related to the word Elohim, and Elyon means highest or most high. It refers to the characteristic of God that is above everyone and everything. Then we have the Lord God. Lord, not all caps, is the word Adonai, first in Genesis 15:2 and over 430 times in the Bible. Again, because Jewish people have a tradition of not pronouncing or spelling the name Yahweh, they would often use Adonai instead. This name emphasizes that God is in charge of creation and his people. The next is Almighty God, El Shaddai, first found in Genesis 17:1 and almost 50 more times in Scripture. Shaddai means to overpower or destroy. It refers to God's absolute power. Then we have Everlasting God, El Olam, first found in Genesis 21:33, almost 450 times in the Bible. Olam means forever, always, continuous, everlasting, unending. Speaks of future and eternal. We can take comfort in the fact that God always was and always will be God. Next, the Lord will provide, or Jehovah Jireh, found in Genesis 22:14 only, and I'll read that. Genesis 22:14 says this: "And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said, 'To this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.'" Jehovah, Yahweh, Jireh means to see or provide. Next we have the Lord is peace, Jehovah Shalom. This is only found in Judges 6:24, which says this: "So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, The Lord is peace. Jehovah. Shalom means peace, absence of strife, complete or sound. Again, if you would greet a Jewish family or person, they may say shalom, coming and going. We can be thankful for the peace with God we have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, can't we? And also the peace of God that passes even at times our understanding when we're going through difficult times. Next we have the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Ra, only found in Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Ra means to shepherd, to feed, to supply, to be a good friend. Then we have the Lord is there, Jehovah Shammah, only found in Ezekiel 48:35. It says this, at the very end of the chapter, the Lord is there. Shama simply means there. We're reminded of God's promise in the Bible. I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is quoted in Deuteronomy 31 in two places, Joshua 1:5 and Hebrews 13:5. Regardless of what you're going through today or what you are heading toward, you can take comfort knowing that God is always there. God has created all things. He has authority over all things. One has said concerning this authority, the Father is the source of authority, the Son is the channel of authority, and the Spirit is the agent whereby authority is exercised. The Father, the source, the Son, the channel, the Spirit, the agent. Man consists of a body, soul, and spirit, a tripart being like the God of creation. Again, Brother Eddie shared with us with that many years ago. We are made in his own image. We read of that in Genesis 1:26 and 27. And we are made in his likeness, Genesis 5:22. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But how would you explain three in one? Well, I remember Carol many years ago. We taught first grade Sunday school. I think when Jonathan was first in that class, we continued for a few years at a different fellowship. She used to explain to the first graders that the Holy Trinity was kind of like the Rollins, kind of a type. Jim, or myself, I was a type of the Father, head of the family. Carol was a type of the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit's a comforter. What do mothers, what do women do? They comfort. And of course, Jonathan, type of the Son. Three in one, one family, Jim, Carol, and Jonathan, the Rollins. We also have the example of an egg, say a hard-boiled egg. We have the outer shell, we have the white part, and the yellow yolk, three in one. Well, some don't teach that there is a Trinity. They deny it, a tripart God. But thankfully, God's word confirms that there is a Holy Trinity. Turn to Matthew 3. Go down to verse 13, Matthew 3:13. One of the many examples of the Trinity being spoken of in the Scripture. Of course, this is the account where the Lord is baptized with John the Baptizer. Verse 13, Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And when he, speaking of the Lord Jesus, had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God the Father speaking from heaven, the Holy Spirit appearing as dove, God the Son being baptized. There are other clear mentions of the Holy Trinity in God's word. When the Lord Jesus gave his disciples and us the promise of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, he says this, as recorded in John 14:16, I will pray the Father, he will give another helper He will give another helper. Here we have the Son, the Father, and the Spirit mentioned. When I first came up with this title, Thrice Blessed or Three Times Blessed, I thought of the Trinity and how they're all involved in our salvation. What a blessing to know that the Godhead is concerned for our eternal future. God the Father is not willing that any should perish. We read of that in 2 Peter 3:9. God the Son came to seek and to save that which was lost. We read that in Luke 19:10. God the Holy Spirit was sent to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We read of that in John 16:8. What a blessing to know that the Godhead is so concerned about us. The Lord Jesus Christ was chosen by the Godhead in eternity past to represent the Godhead and to do what was needed to save fallen man. In Isaiah 48:16, we read this. From the time that it was, I, speaking of the Lord Jesus, was sent there, and now the Lord God, speaking of God the Father, and his Spirit have sent me, the Son, the Father, and the Spirit. This holy council determined that the Lord Jesus Christ was to be the sacrifice for sin of the world before the world was. In Revelation 13:8, we have this. The book of life of the Lamb, speaking of Christ, slain from before the foundation of the world. And we know that the Lord was not slain in eternity past. This occurred in approximately 33 AD. But the plan of man's redemption and its cost was determined long ago. Consider John 3:16, very familiar verse. I'm sure we all can quote it, the most recognized verse in Scripture. And just the number speaks of us. John 3 speaks of the Trinity. 1 speaks of God 3 in 1. And 6 is the number of man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because of our sin, which we were born into, we will perish. Whenever I read this verse, that part jumps out of me. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. We will perish, be eternally separated from God, the Trinity, when we die. Death speaks of separation. We can only change this by accepting God's truth. Listen to a few verses in Romans. It's been called the Roman Road, a road that leads to heaven. Very familiar. And I want us to look at these because even though most of us can recite them, I think it's good to see what God's word says and read it together. Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory. Now go to Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23, for the wages or payment of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We've all sinned. There's a penalty for sin. The Bible says it's death. Again, separation from God. But God had a plan. Go to Romans 5:8. Back to Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God was willing to pay the price to redeem fallen man. And go to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here the writer of Romans, Paul, quotes Joel 2:32, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, let me just say this, if you're here today, or perhaps you're hearing this message at a later date, and you don't have the assurance of your salvation, that your sins have been forgiven, please consider what was just read, not my words, but God's word. Agree with God in his word that you're a sinner. We've all sinned and fallen short. Some try to get into heaven by good works. Scripture says, not of works, lest any man should boast. They try to be good on their own, but Scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one, and our righteousness is as filthy rags. Put your faith and trust alone. Turn to God. The Bible calls that repentance. Put your faith and trust in his son and his finished work on your behalf on the cross of Calvary. And again, as Romans says, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Let's consider the Trinity's representative, Lord Jesus Christ, as God's holy plan unfolded, just for a minute or two. Three persons of the Godhead, we can consider three periods of time. We think about in the garden. Christ prayed for 3 hours. The first time we read that, could you not watch for 1 hour? So we know he prayed three times in each an hour. Some have suggested this was perhaps from midnight to 3 a.m. Three times the Son asked the Father to remove his cup. Speaks of our sin. But we know he was always the obedient Son. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The one who knew no sin and was sinless took upon our sin in his own body on the cross of Calvary. 1 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for he, speaking of God the Father, made him, speaking of Christ the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Isaiah 53:6 says this, and the Lord, speaking of the Father, has laid on him, again, the Son, the iniquity or sin of us all. There's other periods of time listed in the Bible or suggested as 3 hours each. The Lord's arrest and mock trial of many, one of many, I believe he had four trials, from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. The Lord's trial continued in abuse at the hands of man from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. The Lord's suffering and then crucifixion from 9 a.m. to noon. Finally, the Lord's separation from the Father and death from noon at 3 p.m. He said, it is finished. As Christ took upon him our sin, his fellowship with the Father was broken. Think about that. Still eternally part of the Godhead, the Trinity, but now separated from the fellowship experienced from the foundation before the world began. In Christ, we have the forgiveness of sin, fellowship with God that was lost in the garden so long ago can be restored. I'm thankful for John, 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is written to and for believers. Now, when we sin, not if, but when, we still fall short, we can have our fellowship with the Father restored. Three periods of time, each experienced by our Lord as the Godhead's representative. Well, there's many other scriptures that speak of the Holy Trinity, and we're going to do this together, so we'll look at a few more. Turn to Acts 1. Like I said earlier, I don't expect you all to write all this down, but if you want to get a list, I'll have something by next week. I wanted to get it for today, but time kind of escaped me. Just so you can find these quick references. Acts 1, go down to verse 4 and 5, speaking again of the Holy Trinity. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He, Jesus, commanded them not to depart. We have the promise of the Father, and we have the Holy Spirit mentioned. We also have this in Acts 10:38, which I'll read. and says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Here we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Go down to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. Here we have the Spirit, the Son, and the Father. Another one is Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, and I'll read this. There is one body and one spirit, speaking of the body of Christ, the church, and the unity. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. Here we have the Spirit, the Son, and the Father listed. Turn to Hebrews 9, 14. Hebrews 9:14 says this, how much more shall the blood of Christ, to the eternal Spirit, offer himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Here we have the Son, the Spirit, the Father mentioned. And one more in 1 Peter 1:2, it says this, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, Father, Spirit, and Son. Consider for a moment the Holy Trinity and prayer. We pray to the Father as guided by the Spirit in the Son's name, don't we? Also, the Son and the Spirit intercede for us to the Father. We have this in Hebrews 7:25, that Christ lives, forever lives, to make intercession for us. And in Romans 8:26, the Spirit also intercedes. The Son and the Spirit perfect or make perfect the prayers that we offer up to the Father. Well, in conclusion, we truly are thrice blessed. God in three persons, the Holy Trinity, the Godhead, knew our need before we even existed. The Godhead determined a plan on how to meet that need. The Father was willing to send his well-beloved Son. The Spirit caused a virgin to conceive a sinless man who would be our sinless sacrifice for sin. The Son was willing to carry out the plan to pay the price required to redeem fallen man. The Godhead is involved in our prayers, our perfection as we seek to be more like the Son, and our future. God gives his own so many things, but here's just a few: righteousness in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, protection, healing, provision, guidance and direction, companionship, encouragement, and shalom, or peace. So many other things. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Turn to that song, number 6 in your red hymn book. Number 6, Holy, Holy, Holy.